Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Games are won late. You just have to keep playing. So I appreciated the poise and the perseverance and the performance almost in all areas in the last 10 minutes in particular to win the game.
Well, wrap up that fourth quarter. Nebraska getting it done on the road at Purdue. 25-24. Hope you're doing all right. Welcome to Monday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. A lot to get into with the win, and it may do something for some of you. It may prolong the agony for other parts of you, the agony being this team being so wildly inconsistent. And you know what? I had all sorts of thoughts. What we did on Saturday night, I don't know how you spent your game, but we went to a football party. It's kind of a football basketball party for Junior. And so Junior's with his buddies from the hoops team, all the folks get together, and we've gotten together for years to watch the game. And I kind of went off by myself downstairs to just kind of soak this thing in because it looked like it was about a touch from a feather from turning into a blowout. Okay, it was within that 12-point. How could that 12-point difference turn into 19? Because it felt like Purdue was a couple of plays away from putting it out of reach. And being down 12, even with 10 and change left in the fourth quarter, I didn't completely write Nebraska off, and I know you're all nodding, going, yeah, sure. No, I just stranger things, right? It would be par for the course this season with this team to pull something out like they did. It's just been that wacky and nuts of a 2017 football season. So I didn't completely write them off, even when it looked like they were dead in the water, because that would be appropriate based on how crazy this season is. But just kind of sitting back, and the fans upstairs that were watching, the parents, they were kind of excited at first, and then they went a little numb because it got kind of ugly, and it was frustrating to watch. And then Nebraska got down by double digits. And then the roar with the comeback and the touchdown pass was pretty cool. It is pretty awesome to people watch and judge and see the reactions. And I don't know if that's how you either celebrated. I can't picture a Nebraska fan on his couch or her couch going, oh, yeah, they won. I don't think you're there yet. No matter what you want from a direction and head coach and all of that talk, you got to win tonight. These dudes kept fighting for a win, and I know it was a win over a 3-win Purdue. I'm not lost in who they beat or how they had to come back and win. But it's better than the alternative. It's better than being the team that lost two out of your last three at Purdue. Because no one in the Big Ten's done that. It's like a rule. You're in the Big Ten, you can't lose two out of 3 years to the Big to Purdue. Well, Nebraska was, you know, an eyelash away from that being a reality. You can join us today, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Can tap the line, Chillingbridge Court can tap house. We'll get Jay Moore's thoughts on the win over Purdue and Northwestern coming into town. 1 hour from now, Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride going to be with us Mondays with Charlie. And at 5:25, our one-on-one with the game winner, Tanner Lee, Husker quarterback. We had a chance to get caught up with him at the press conference today. We'll have some thoughts from Riley on the press conference. And listen, what did Saturday night do for you? And what I see it as, it's a moment of silence. It's a chance to take a breath. It's a moment of silence where The team can get off the last 3 weeks of bludgeoning, of reflection on how bad they lost at home, and whether or not their coach is going to keep his job, okay? They have a moment of joy that they earned. And it was tough to watch for three quarters of that. Absolutely very tough to watch for three quarters. But they found a way to win, and I give them credit for that. It doesn't mean that I'm going to read into and project. It's one win. Northwestern's coming in here pretty hot, pretty fortuitous with overtime wins in back-to-back weeks against two pretty good teams, one being a rival. And it's kind of up to Nebraska here. We'll discuss the tempo question for Nebraska football moving forward. But really, what did Saturday do for me? It's a moment of silence. It's a moment to take a breath. And it's a chance for this team to kind of regroup and regather. Confidence had been a question. Commitment had been a question. The give-a-damn level. Was it something we're making up, or are your eyes lying to you? It's the old line from the song, are you going to believe me or your lying eyes? And what Saturday did is, look, man, these, I don't know how the year's going to finish out. Do they go 1-4 now? Do they go 4-1 now? I don't know. It's Purdue, okay? But you found a way to win, and they found a way to execute when they hadn't done that a lot. They hadn't found ways to win, and they had not found ways to execute. Better late than never, and Nebraska actually looked comfortable 2-minute drilling it. I'll give them credit for that. But what I see, and we'll get to the phones here in a minute, if you're on hold, stay there. You have a bigger problem that's not been fixed. And it's why the Wisconsin fourth quarters happened to you. It's why Ohio State happens to you. It's why Oregon happens to you. And it comes down to the fundamentals of this team, and it comes down to the red zone execution. I mean, there's a laundry list that doesn't look better from the start of the season. It just doesn't, defensively or offensively. And when it comes to balance, we don't want to give up on the run game. I get that, and it's nice to say. But if you're not feeling it and you don't want to run it, it ain't a priority, and it isn't, because you're not drilling it enough in practice, in my opinion. If you are, then you're having issues with transition and translation of practice to game. Because you're gonna get smoked being a one-dimensional football team, being unable to run it in these next four games. And it smoked you in the previous several games. You weren't consistent. Couldn't do it for a full game against Wisconsin. Didn't want to be there against Ohio State. And you were okay. I mean, it helped bring you back. It helped provide some balance against Oregon till he got hurt, till Bryant got hurt. It's just not what you are. Philosophy-wise, that's just not what you are. Mike Riley, Danny Langsdorf, you're just not. So don't tell me that you want to be balanced, because you look the most comfortable you've looked all year in shotgun with four wide chucking the ball. So don't appease him. Don't appease the fan base, brother. If it's going to help you win, if you're better at pass blocking than run blocking, just start chucking it. Hell, it's you're going to go out your own way, or you're going to come back your own way when it comes to decision time. Brian's on hold. Brian, thanks for hanging on. Thanks for calling in. Welcome to Hail Varsity. Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Three quarters of that game, I wanted to puke, but
it's tough to watch.
You know, the Huskers, they let me down a lot this year, but I'm still with them. If you guys are listening to you, don't listen to the naysayers. We love you. We'd be lost without you. Just keep on keeping on. Use this as momentum. And we're still with you. We're behind you.
All right, Brian. Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for the call. There's Brian. Got your back, Husker football team. And good for him. I can't read that, homie. Is it Jake? Jack? All right. I have found a person in the world who has worse cursive than TJ Henning and Chris Schmidt. The Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. That is Jack. Jack, you're on. Welcome, bud. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you, buddy. Hey, two quick questions. One is a statement. The other, before the season started, I was watching the BTN, and they had Barry Alvarez on.
Yeah.
And this was way back, 1st of August. And they said, Barry, how good your team going to be this year? He said, I don't know. You tell me how good our offensive line's going to be, and I'll tell you how good the team's going to be. And that was his answer. And here's a problem that I don't understand. I don't understand why in games they don't develop more depth in that offensive line. All they talk about is, well, we do this stuff in practice, practice, practice. If Conrad hadn't got hurt, Michael Decker would still be sitting on the bench. If when they're in a blowout game like Wisconsin, Ohio State, when everybody in the world knows they're not going to win the game, why isn't Reardon and Wilson and them young kids getting some game experience? So what if they give up a sack? Big deal. We're already out of the game, so we're not going to win it. And you don't ever know who's going to be a gamer and who isn't going to be until you put them in the game. Thanks a lot.
Jack, thanks for the phone call. I don't have answers as to why the participation sheet looks like it is, other than coach's decision. And the choice to put in some of the young pups in game situation, they've not been ahead to do so, but throwing them in when they're behind could be advantageous too. But the five guys that they've deemed best, two of the guys have been hurt, and it's forced Decker and it's forced Hymus in, and they've played well. Now, some of your upperclassmen have been the issue this year. Some of your upperclassmen have been the issue on the offensive line this year. Some of your upperclassmen have been the issue at wide receiver this year when it comes to making plays, when it comes to just doing their job, when it comes to not being a guy who commits a penalty or drops a pass. And I have no earthly answer for that. And right now this is momentary. The win over Purdue, the fact you came back and you drove the field, you went 70 yards in 67 seconds. That was awesome. That was cool to see. They looked great doing it. But when it comes to red zone play, and Riley said it today, you'll hear it in a moment. Their lack of ability to run the football has hosed their red zone play, because you need to be balanced, and more times than not, you're going to run it in if you're going to score the 7 in the red zone. It's pretty hard to throw the football. You see the fade route, you see a slant, whatever. Even if you get a guy open, I mean, DeMornay dropped the 1 into the end zone on Saturday night. Not picking on DeMornay, but that's just, even if you get it something open, you guys still got to catch it. So what I don't get is you had 9 penalties, and you looked just they looked like they had not practiced all week or 2 weeks. When it came to their tackling, when it came to their execution, when it came to their blocking, and then they kind of turned it on in the 4th quarter. But at this point in the season, They just look, I mean, that's what I was wondering, sitting and watching. What have you guys done for the off week or for the 2 weeks leading up to Purdue? Because they had issues. I mean, 40-plus yards after contact is what Riley highlighted. And I'm just bashing this win, and I know it sounds like I'm doing that. I'm not. I'm happy that they won the football game. But I'm just being straight with you that they looked no better, no progress made on the field for 3 quarters, and then they turned it on. God love them and credit them for turning it on in the 4th quarter. But for 3 quarters, they looked more interested to play, great, but they were still committing penalties, they weren't making tackles. They looked like a fundamentally flawed football team. Let's sneak Greg in here real quick. Greg, thanks for calling in. Go ahead. Greg, you're on. Go ahead, bud.
Yeah, I was just wondering a couple things. One, if maybe the new athletic director told Mike Riley he needed to make a change on his offensive staff, i.e., offensive line and offensive coordinator, whether he would do it, and maybe tweak his philosophy in terms of coming up with something that's more spread and read option friendly. Hmm. Also, I was wondering if you'd heard of a website called Husker Chalk Talk, where they dive into the Scott Frost offense, and essentially a lot of the blocking schemes that he's doing are similar to what Nebraska does, but they talk about a box count offense. Mm-hmm. And so I started doing it during the game, and it's pretty difficult to run when you got eight in the box and but no sure. options in terms of changing your plays. I'll listen up or hang up and listen to what you have to say.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Here's what you got, and I've seen a little bit of the Frost offense and what he wants to do. And, yeah, I mean, the thing is when you have a box count like that, you need to complete the pass on first down, or need to have some ability in the run game to be diverse. Quarterback run, running back run, those are it. And I don't know if there's a edict to make a change with his offense. I think Riley's open to it, but that's specifically a question for him to answer.
Allstate, two-year starter, and rush in for the Big Red, an NFL vet.
Is Dudeness or Duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
It's Blackshirt Jay Moore with Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio. Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. 1 hour from now, Tanner Lee will sit down with us. Welcome in, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. Jay, how many did it take you to have to get through Saturday night?
I tell you what, it didn't take me that many. I actually, I don't know if I had food poisoning or what, or about with the flu, and I didn't feel too well.
Might have been the game.
I wasn't feeling too well before the game. I'll clarify that. I know watching a little bit. Watching the inability to run the ball made me a little sick, but overall, I tell you what, when you get a win, and I know it's whoever it may be against, but it made me feel just a little bit better. Even though when I got inside from driving back from Omaha, I did have to throw up a little bit, but that wasn't because of the game. That was just because of being a little sick. So all in all, I'll take the W.
All right, A, you stay the hell away from us. B, you're right. You'll take the win. And prefacing all of it by you know who it's against, you know how you got it done, you're not going to complain, you're going to be happy about the win as a Nebraska fan. But I don't get the following, and clarify it for me. Are they just down when it comes to guys that can block and tackle? I mean, and guys are trying. They're trying to do their best, but when it comes to results, there's a lot of guys missing tackles still, and they went back and they did padded practices last week, and I get you got to do it more than once or twice. But between their inability to run the football and stop the run, I mean, this is just kind of who they are. Is that fair to say, Jay, that they're just a team that's not great at blocking or tackling?
Yeah, I would say more blocking. I mean, it's when it comes to those two type of things, it's a mindset. It's 100% a mindset. I mean, it's preparing well in practice and having that mindset that I'm going to get after it in practice. I'm going to prepare well. It's not fun to work on the blocking and tackling in practice. It's not. It's a grind. But if you don't do it, that's what happens. You get embarrassed. You miss tackles. You play poorly. You can't run the ball. But it's 100% a mindset. And I mean, whether it's they're not having the right mindset to prepare that way, or they're not having the right mindset once they get in the game, it's one of those two. Because obviously you're seeing very poor performances on that side of on both sides of the ball, and really. Surprisingly, more and more. I mean, you have games where you struggle tackling. I mean, it just happens. But for you know, hell, most of the year and most of Mike Riley's time here, Nebraska's O-lines have struggled running the ball, you know, period. And luckily we've had, you know, some mobile quarterbacks able to utilize some QB run game to help utilize things a little bit to kind of mask some of these issues. But it's very surprising, to say the least, that through 8 games, Nebraska still can't identify itself as a team that can run the ball. And, I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, I think the only way going forward for this football team is they're going to have to chuck it 40 to 50 times like they did on Saturday, because you can't run, period. I mean, you might as well just say, hey, we're just going to sit back here and shotgun. Let's just chuck this thing. I know people don't want to hear it, but if you want to win some football games, finish out this year and go to a bowl game, that might be the only excuse right now for Nebraska to sit back there and, hey, it's 7-on-7 now, and we're just going to chuck this thing, and, hey, best of luck stopping us.
Jay Moore is with us, HailVarsity.com and HailVarsity Radio at JayMoore44. Jay, that's where I'm going next here. Just why not go 4 wide and make it the Tanner Lee show these next few games? Can you win that way moving forward, knowing who's left on the schedule, where I don't say you abandon the run game, but it is more of a, it's almost like a trick play or a unicorn when you do see a run play. Can Nebraska not only win throwing the ball 50 times moving forward, or compete throwing the ball 50 times moving forward, but also can you implement some hurry up to it?
I tell you what, I'd like to see that. I mean, obviously you saw the great execution of the 2-minute drill. I know things are a little skewed a little bit in 2-minute drill with defenses that are played and stuff like that, but it helps to get in a rhythm sometimes offensively. It does. It kind of you when you get a fast moving offense, you can't overcomplicate things. You have to get pretty basic, and it takes the thinking out of it for players. They know, okay, this is what we're doing. We got this. You can kind of get it scripted almost to a point if you want to throughout practice. So it's kind of a nice thing to have. But I think going forward, I mean, listen, Northwestern does not defend the pass very, very well. You know, Fitzgerald's defense is always kind of gritty and play tough. But I think I saw that they're like 110th or 12th defending the pass in the nation this year. But I think going forward, Nebraska can't get in your prototypical running formation. You saw some of the times we get in 21, 22 type personnel situations, and we just struggle to flat out run the ball because people know it. They load up the box. They want to put 8 guys up there, hell, sometimes 9. And we just can't do it. I think the way Nebraska's going to be able to run the ball is running it from shotgun, to where you're getting in there and you're in 10, 11 personnel, but you're spreading them out. And it's a complete, you know, guessing game where you throw on first down and maybe you get a couple, then you run next, and hey, you might get yourself into a third manageable. But that's the only way they're going to be able to run the ball going forward, is at a shotgun. But it just is what it is right now with this football team. If through 8 games, that's what you are. You are not very physical at the point of attack as an offensive line. They're not physical, period. That's safe to say. So if you're going to try to salvage this season somehow one way, that's what you're going to have to do. And I just don't think they're going to be – it's hard to. It's going to be hard to win because you're starting to get into the time of year, especially around here, and wherever we're playing the rest of the year, we're just going to get cold. You know, it could be it's supposed to be halfway decent on Saturday, but you could go to Minnesota where it could be 20-some degrees in a couple of weeks. You can go to Penn State in a few weeks and it could be 20-some degrees. Got Iowa here. We know the last time they played here, it was freezing when they played Iowa. So you're at a very interesting time of the year to decide to start chucking it 40 times to 50 times a game when it could be, you know, 30 degrees out, blowing 20, and receivers have a hard time feeling their hands. So, but it is what it is. They got themselves into this mess, and hopefully they can get themselves out.
Jay Moore, a couple more minutes with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Jay, a thought on the Nebraska defense, how they survived and stepped up and made a couple of key stops on drives for Purdue, because it was teetering, man. It was going to go from 24 to 12 to 31 to 12, and that's all she wrote, but they got a couple of stops.
Yeah, I mean, I tell you what, I don't know if you've discussed it already, but Marcus Newby stopped there at the goal line.
It's big.
was it on second? I can't remember if it was on second or third down, but to get him a loss for a couple of yards, that was huge. I mean, that helped him to 3 points. I mean, to me, that's the play of the game defensively. Otherwise, they score there. That's all she write, all she wrote. So it's you see some good things. You know, as non-existent as Lamar Jackson's been this year, you know, he did play halfway decent, made some nice tackles. It was good to see for once, but it's just the inconsistencies. I mean, I think it's a little bit to do with players still not completely comfortable in this new scheme. I think you see the injuries, you know, whether it's small ones or guys just getting re-injured. You know, it just seems like every play someone's getting hurt. I don't know if that's a mindset or what exactly, or if Nebraska's just that beat up, but that's kind of puzzling to me. But, you know, there's always something to deal with. I mean, they got to get better. The offense is coming up. You know, I don't think Northwestern is anything crazy. Obviously, Penn State is what it is. But, you know, this defense can't succeed with the rest of these teams that they're going to play so far throughout the year. But they got to get, you know, obviously they got to tackle better. They got to communicate better. And just, you know, just get after the quarterback and just keep bringing pressure and hopefully get some guys healthy. But I tell you what, if we're going to keep having guys, you know, not be able to play, especially in the secondary, it's going to be it could continue to be more of a struggle for this defense finish out the year.
It is Monday. Got about 90 seconds left. Do you have a lean one way or the other against Northwestern? Vegas says Nebraska -2.
Yeah, I like Nebraska in it. I know Northwestern plays us tough at home. You know, we've only beat them once at home. That was on the Hail Mary. I like us, though. I think Northwestern, they've had some nice wins the last couple of weeks against Iowa and Michigan State. But I think we can play well. You can kind of build. I mean, like I said, we've struggled with an identity at offense. Maybe our identity now for these last four games is, listen, we're going to have to chuck it. Maybe we kind of go with some tempo. We find something that kind of works you can kind of build off of. And maybe we found something here to help finish off these rest of these four games. I think it's still going to be another close game. I feel like, you know, besides the Penn State game, these are all within a field goal type game. So, you know, I like a pretty low scoring game, I'll say, but Nebraska in like a 21-17, 21-18 type ball game against Northwestern.
There he is, Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore at JayMoore44. Bird, we'll get caught up later on. Thanks for a few minutes today, bud.
Yep, you got it.
Take care. There he is. Jay Moore. And Bird was in Seacrest with us on Friday, getting you ready for Nebraska-Purdue. His illness, not from football, but maybe he had a bad hot pocket or something. I don't know. Just glad he's doing better. Listen, I want to tell you about Madonna Proactive. You want to get proactive with your health, with fitness, with wellness. Madonna Proactive can help you do that. It's conveniently located at 56th and Pine Lake. Madonna Proactive, you know what? The good folks over there, they offer individualized personal training, beginner, and advanced classes. You want to get into yoga? Be a little more flexible? Great. You want to get into just some Ironman training? They've got the ability for you to do that as well. Three pools. Lincoln's only aqua track, and when we talk facilities, they've got just an incredible amount of space, upstairs, downstairs, great aquatic center, and basketball courts, too, if you want to go hoop it up with your brother or your friends. And the training, they can get you focused and drilled down into when it comes to 10K or half marathon or Ironman. They have that there. Free weights, Zumba. Get your time made this week when it comes to visiting Proactive. This month, with an annual commitment, you'll pay nothing till January. And that's plenty of free months for you. On top of that, a free consultation with a personal trainer, registered dietitian, and wellness coach. Call today, 402-420-0000, or log on madonnaproactive.org. Make your appointment today.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Big thanks to Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore. 20 minutes away from Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. And then Tanner Lee at 525 can join us, can tap the line. Schilling Bridge Court can tap house 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. If you had to pick any of these areas in which Nebraska gets better heading into November, do you think it'll be one of the following? Which of the following? Tackling, rushing attack, or rush defense? Do you think the red zone can get better? We'll discuss all of these areas with Nebraska and where things were so anemic Saturday night. Now, Purdue, I think it was a decent to good rush defense. But Jay just reminded me that, yeah, while it's been windy in eastern Nebraska and different parts of Nebraska here, probably three of the last 7 days, it's been cold and chilly. Well, there's more of that coming. And it'll be like that in Lincoln. It'll be like that in Minnesota. It'll be like that in Unhappy Valley. And good luck throwing the football when you're going against the wind. Maybe you can, but that's a reality, as cold as the wind, that can limit your offense and really ask a lot of your defense. Unless you're just better or you get a couple of big completions. I mean, you've already had to win a lot of games, 21-17 type deal. So, I don't know. But, you know, this is the million-dollar question for Langsdorf and Riley, is just that patience with the run game. How long do you stick with it versus going chuck and duck? That's totally fair. Do you keep trying to work it? And they got a couple with Bradley, and not so coincidentally, they were able to score after just really no real estate at all on the ground. But then Bradley hit a couple, and then you get a touchdown pass to Hoppus, and then you get the one to Stan, and the rest is history. You win 25-24. I don't think they'll abandon it. I think they were forced in a lot of instances because the offense has been so inconsistent this year and in past years to just start throwing the football because you're down. You've been down a lot. You've been down a lot of points early and often. And they've still tried to stick with the run game, but when push came to shove, they just kind of did their thing. But, you know, patience in the run game, well, that's still remain a virtue.
Yeah, we've had a long talk last night and this morning about the running game and what we're going to try to do and what's the best way to attack this. They've been really good run defense, so I think being selective and probably having a run or two that is repeatable, I don't think it's wise to have a whole bunch of stuff you try to execute against this defense. I think if we can get some balance going and some counter-type plays going, you know, curveball plays to what might be a base run or two would be good, but something that is repeatable that we can do.
I'm not one for I need seven different choices. Give me two or three that work and roll with that. They've just had an issue trying to find one, two, or three plays that work consistently. And their preference has always been to throw the football. It just has been. It's what they know. It's who they are. It's where they come from. So finally, just go full Monty with it, man, and pray for some better weather. Here is Coach Riley on why the run game has struggled.
It's probably pretty simply the whole idea of winning the one-on-one matchups up front. You know, from there, being able to do that kind of repeatedly so you have good running stats at the end. I don't have any other magic formula to it. You've got to block them. You know, I think we have good runners, and I think we did miss a couple of opportunities the other night running the ball, actually, in the ball game. You got to block.
Yes, you do. You got to block. And you don't know from one play call to the next if it's going to get handled. If a guy's going to slip. If you're going to get a freaking holding penalty man, those holding penalties were killers. Still won Saturday night, but it's been the same thing, and it's been the same culprits. And most of them haven't been your true freshman or redshirt freshman. Here's another true question that we got to talk about, and that is, how are you going to be at center moving forward? If Decker is out for the year, and Riley pretty much said that today, are you going to get a new, different, better Cole Conrad? Or are you going to get a guy, and bless his heart, because he came in and communicated well, and for the most part, the line did well when they had to get it moving and mount the comeback. Now, Northwestern's pretty good. Penn State's really good. Minnesota, don't know. Just don't lose to them. And then Iowa. Iowa will eat your lunch on the interior defensively if your center's not playing well. It's kind of the facts of life moving forward with your choices at center. Last thought here on run game and how it is a reason for the struggling offense. The red zone, we've talked run game, we've talked struggle. Well, it all kind of comes together when you're trying to score in that red zone.
Man, one thing that you start with there is the best way to score in the red zone is to run it in, and we're not running very well. And then the passes are, they're smaller windows. That doesn't help, but we just missed some opportunities to make some plays. I think if you could actually run more effectively, you know, I've been waiting to get in a situation where we're down in there and we could use a good play action pass or a bootleg that we've got ready for the game. But the situation, because the run hasn't been very good, it hasn't been very good for that either, and we get third and goal or something, and those are tougher. You know, we got to make the plays. That's really the issue, the balance down there too, I think.
So it all kind of comes back to struggles in the run game, limiting your offense, making you more predictable, making you one-dimensional. And are you just that good and talented where they can't stop you? Doesn't matter if they know what's coming. And is your line that good at giving protection? I think your quarterback's pretty darn good. I think your quarterback made a ton of plays with guys in his face or if he was hurried. You'll hear from Tanner Lee coming up in about 35 minutes here on Hail Varsity Radio. But Saturday night, listen, it's a chance to take a breath. These kids can feel good about themselves. Maybe Nebraska puts a run together, and maybe they finish out strong. It may matter, it may not matter to Bill Moose. But keep fighting, and they showed that, which is good. But the bigger problem is still the inconsistency on both sides of the ball. And you look not as crisp or polished as you should after a bye week. We'll wind down hour one next.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Write it down this first hour, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago, Chris Schmidt, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, 10 minutes away and about 30 minutes away from Tanner Lee. Husker quarterback will join us. Let's go to the phones again. John is with us. John, thanks for hanging on. Go ahead.
Yeah, I enjoy football and I know a little bit about it, but we were watching the game Saturday. And a person that really knows the O's and X's of it was sitting there throughout the game counting all the missed tackles and the bad blocks and everything. I mean, it was really a bad game in terms of that particular area. And we won, and I'm thankful that we won, but we won against a team that we should have been beating very heartily. And I just wondered if you noticed the all the missed tackles and the blocks, like I didn't catch half of them. I'm not that good at that. But this other person was then started to point that out. And was this win good enough, considering how badly they were playing technically, to make a big difference in what's going on?
No, I don't think it's – John, thanks for the phone call, bud. Listen, this is a win, and it's better than a loss, but you still looked – totally out of sorts for most of the game. I mean, now, you made some plays, you made some tackles, you kept after it, so the result's fine. It just didn't look the best. And I'm not Mr. Style Points guy. I'm not. But they just don't look like they've practiced tackling or blocking. Or if they have, it's not been enough. And again, I think Jay Moore nailed it. It's mindset. Can you change your mindset? You are who you are at this point in the year. And some of the guys will self-correct, but as a group, you're going to be wildly inconsistent. You're not going to flip the switch and turn it on and be that two-minute drill team, the last 5 minutes of the ball game. You're not going to get that for an entire four quarters. You're just not from this team because you haven't seen it at all, and you're already into to week 10 now. You're just not going to be anything different other than a team that's going to play hard and try and do their best. That's what Saturday night showed. They still give a damn. But from a fundamental standpoint, no, they're just a team that just is sloppy a lot. With penalties, with tackling, with one-on-one. You heard Riley talk about the blocks. No, it's going to be on Tanner. And Tanner rose up and did his job and did awesome and threw for 431 yards. Good for him. But it's a big ask of him. Tanner Lee will be with us around 525. Sauter Heyman, go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman. 0% interest financing through 2020. And check out their extensive collection of both Earth Mind and Pure Grown Diamonds and 1 carat diamonds available for $99 down, $99 a month. And I tell you what, Sauter Heyman voted best year after year. They can prove to you why with their selection, their quality, and that 0% interest financing through 2020 in 1 carat diamonds, $99 down, $99 a month. Let Rick pick one out with you. SauterHeyman.com, 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln or out west in Grand Island. All right, Mr. Blackshirt, Mondays with Charlie McBride up next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to it. Hour two. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, producing, engineering. And we'll get caught up with Tanner Lee in about 20 minutes. His thoughts on the game-winning drive and escaping West Lafayette 25-24. It is that time. Time to get caught up with Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie. And we welcome in the coach, Coach Charlie McBride. Coach, how's the weekend? How are you?
Well, the weekend was good. And when the game started, it wasn't good. And my wife said, you're going to have a heart attack. So I didn't have one. I'm talking to you.
No, I know. I'm glad you didn't have one. But I was kind of telling a story about we went over to some friend's house to watch, and their level of interest was waning. And then once we got some more ice cubes, the roar went up, and folks were pretty happy about that 2 minute drill and the win. But for the most part, there was a lot of frustration, but I just love watching Nebraska fans get extremely happy and hugs and handshakes and cheers and all that good stuff when you get a win, you know it?
That's exactly right. I mean, that's what it's all about anyway. I mean, you know, to win that way is, you know, it's like you win by 1,000 points rather than one. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody looks at the points after you win like that. I mean, you can look at all the pro things that have gone on, you know, especially with New England. I mean, they come out of the woodwork and do stuff, and you know, it's just been, you know, to me, that is a great lesson for all the players. And it, I mean, that happening is something. And you look at Ohio State, if you watch the game, it's the same difference, you know, where they came back and did all the stuff they did. And, you know, and the whole weekend was full of a bunch of, you know, close games and craziness. So, but I mean, when it was over, it was just like, I think my blood pressure went down to below normal.
I got to ask you, so now as a fan versus the 25 years you spent working, I mean, it's two different hats, obviously.
Yeah.
But
right.
were you more calm coaching,
yeah,
or are you?
Oh,
are
no
you,
question.
Okay.
No question.
Okay.
No question, because I had to make a decision now. I can't listen to when I put a headset on. You know, people used to say, "God, the crowd was wild," and I start thinking, you know, I never heard them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have, you know, I had a headset on. You have to make a decision. Your mind is completely somewhere else. It has to be. And you can't go off the air. You know, you cannot. And I can get off the air fairly easily, but you can't do it. You got to make it. You got to know it down in distances. You got to listen to the guys in the press box. You got to, you know what their personnel changes are to call the defense. There's, you know, in 25 seconds, you better be fast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and so you cannot afford to take the time to, you know, to procrastinate or do any of that stuff. And so that's the difference in the game. And when the game's over and you win, you know, everybody says, oh, the crowd is, well, they wild and everything like that. And I'm going, like, right, you know, it's like you didn't hear anything. So maybe that's what I missed in, you know, in being a, you know, being a coordinator when you had to do those things. And I think sitting in the press box would have really screwed me up, because you talk too many people talking.
Yeah.
And I can't, you know, you can't do it that way. I mean, that's me. Now, other people are, I know a bunch of guys that are great coordinators that are in the press box, and that's what they prefer. But I'd rather be with the players.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hale Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, a thought on the tackling. Nebraska got better specifically around the 10-minute mark of the fourth quarter, but Purdue had a lot of yards after contact, and Purdue also dropped a couple of long passes. It wasn't perfect. Again, to reiterate, you got the win, but the frustration from the players, at least they communicated after the game and today at the media day, they were just so frustrated with their tackling performance, because they even said, yeah, we went and worked on it last week during the bye week. I think what a lot of Nebraska fans are frustrated by is that at times this team doesn't look as crisp as maybe you think they could be or should be.
Turn on another game, okay?
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, you know, I watch a lot of football on the week on Saturday, and you know, that happens all the time. I think that it's something that has to be worked on from day one. It's something that has to be worked on every day. Open field tackling is something that everybody talks about, oh, it's just the secondary that needs that. No, it's the linebackers and the defensive line, because if a guy opens up at the line of scrimmage, a defensive lineman, he's going to go in different directions. That's an open field tackle. I mean, if it's why, you know, if he's there alone with the guy. So there's all kinds of different things that happen, and there's different kinds of drills you can use and all that kind of thing. I think that's, you know, but tackling is an art. I mean, we had kids that came in here that were taught in high school how to tackle. We've got kids that came in here and they went right for the football the first day one. They were pulling it out of somebody's hands. And, you know, that was an emphasis at their high school. And I think those things are things you have to decide as a staff. We're going to emphasize this, 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 and this, and so on and so forth. I think the biggest thing with Nebraska right now, offensively, probably is their red zone.
Mm-hmm.
They have to it seems like they always have to score from outside. They get inside, and that goes back to teaching. they're primarily a passing team when they came in here. I mean, coaching staff, and their whole deal was pass blocking. And when you get all of a sudden you want to run the football, you don't. If you don't put the hours in on the blocking techniques and things like that, you know, it's different now in pro football. They're a passing league. The whole you've got to. I mean, what do you talk about quarterbacks? Quarterbacks. When you lose a quarterback here, well, if you're a running team, you just hand the ball off and win the game. You know, if you work on that all the time, so it's kind of an in between thing that's kind of tough to disguise. And the only thing, my point is that if you're going to be a passing team, which they turned into because they were one-dimensional, they had a pass. And when you get into a one-dimensional thing, then the other team's going to tee off on you. They're going to have a better pass rush because they know you're not going to run it, and so on and so forth. And that's what we did way back in 95 with Florida. They couldn't run a lick, and we stopped their run, and all they did was pass the ball. We put our hand on the ground and got our rear ends in the air and let her fly, and made a big difference.
Well, moving forward too, Coach, just the weather that usually happens in the Big Ten in November isn't great for passing. The other side of that, though, is I don't think they'll abandon the run game, but I think they're just very frustrated with its inability or inconsistency to be balanced, and that's a tough call to stay patient with something that isn't working. And what looked good and looked the best they've looked offensively was that two-minute drill.
Right. Well, here's the thing. You know, when you're at this time of the year and you're not real, even as coaches, you're not real confident in your running game, you keep up with your game. You know, you might add something a little different to trick them, but that's where you do. You put in something that'll trick them, definitely. It'll be off what you've done and not have to spend a lot of time on it. Work on the passing game, but if you get to Penn State, for example, or even next weekend, I don't know, but if you get up there, you get into a blizzard, you're in trouble. You can't run the football. And that takes a lot of work. Running, you know, running the football is, you know, I mean, way back from when I was in high school, boy, if you don't teach those kids how to block somebody, then my common sense thing was is you never stop your feet on contact. And that's when guys get hurt. If they stop their feet, guys falling in the back of them, they're doing all kinds of stuff. And so a lot of times in pro football, you're finding what guys do is screen blockers rather than knock them off the ball. And you can tell on third down and short, fourth and short, we're not getting the yards. That's because we can't. We've got guys that aren't used to getting down in the dirt and going ahead, because that is regardless of what everybody says, they want to run the ball. In the back of their mind, they're really a passing team still. I think, you know, I mean, I what I look at,
right.
I mean, and so all of those things have to come up later on. Right now, they're at a point where, you know, it's whether you work on some fundamental, really down and dirty stuff where you get one-on-one stuff where you force guys to drive themselves, get low and go, you know, and that kind of thing, or you pick up a kind of an offense where a lot of guys in short yardage will flat if there's two linemen there, okay, and there's one lineman, and two linemen can double team at both positions, say it's guard and tackle and tight end. A lot of teams will go short yardage of double team those guys. Forget the linebackers. We don't care about them. Just pound those guys into the dirt, and then the short yardage stuff comes up. And so a lot of that is just double teams at the point of attack. And you see a lot of that in the NFL. They do that because they don't have time to mess around. They're working on all kinds of things. But I've been to a pro camp, and they spend a lot of time on the running techniques. I mean, you know, and that just depends on the coach's philosophy. That's simple as that. I know Coach wants to run. I know he wants to run the football. And running the football is been ingrained in Nebraska people. But it doesn't say that passing can't be ingrained in the Nebraska people. You know, you understand what I'm saying? I mean, the old days of the option and the power game, mm-hmm. we had options, power games, all kinds of different things, and then we had play action pass, and everything we ran was a play action, was a power, was a play, a pass off of it, and a reverse off of it. I mean, how simple can you get? And then you had your tricks and mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Coach, a thought on Northwestern before we say goodbye. They come in winning back-to-back overtime games against a couple pretty good teams.
Yeah, they're going to be a good coach team. They're going to be one of the better coach teams in the Big Ten, I'll tell you right now. I mean, they don't have the personnel that a lot of people have, and they've done a great job there. I tried to recruit the head coach out of high school. Shows you how old I am. and I know they're well coached. The defensive coordinator is a great guy and a very good coach, solid.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what we need to do is we need to have a win. I mean, we need to have a real win. I mean, no messing around. We need to rock and roll and have a real, you know, one that isn't one of these backyard deals. We need to win decisive, not just by 1,000 points, but just a pure good game that we do well in.
So
you know, all together.
Okay, so one of those 27-14, you ran for a good chunk of yards and you threw well, but you tackled
that's
well.
That's right.
One of those throwback games?
That's right. One of those games where you just did well and it wasn't a you know, every play wasn't a disaster area or a beginning. It's just solid football game where we really play well, no penalties and no turnovers and things like that. I mean, just a good football game. And that's what we – and the players, I think, learned a lot last week, a lot more than you think they learned. When they came back, they realized, hey, we could win. I mean, we could do this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they got last week.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie on Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, we will talk to you next Monday and get caught up then. We'll spend a few minutes with you next Monday and take a deep breath on Saturday at 2:30, okay?
Well, I'm not taking any deep breaths, so we're going to go stone them.
Okay, there we go. It's okay. Predicted. Okay. He called his shot.
Thanks for having me. I'll talk to you next week.
Take care, Coach.
Okay.
Appreciate you.
Bet.
All right. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. There we go. Coach McBride, it's all handled. It's all taken care of. Easier said than done, but good to get caught up with Coach. Good insight there on some of the why as far as the running struggles. So, Tanner Lee was big time Saturday night. Incredible performance. We'll have a chance to chat with Tanner Lee here in about 4 minutes or so. We'll get caught up with the Husker quarterback. When you think of Hail Varsity, you think of amazing Husker photos. Aaron Babcock is incredible. And when it comes to the Hail Varsity photography needs, they put their trust in Rockbrook Camera and Sony. Sony's mirrorless image technology achieves new dimensions in photographic speed and performance, and in cameras with a fraction of the size and weight that some of the traditional digital SL cameras are or have. So you see that latest issue of Hail Varsity Magazine, you jump on HailVarsity.com, and you see some of those pictures from Purdue or from the Wisconsin game, and see some of the shots Aaron got. It's incredible because of the Sony cameras and our friends at Rockbrook Camera. The choice he trusts is Rockbrook. That's Aaron Babcock. Check out the amazing cameras at Rockbrook Camera with 3 locations and online. Can log on, RockbrookCamera.com. Tanner Lee, up next on Hail Varsity Radio.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
A few minutes, Tanner Lee with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Tanner, Mo said that last drive was magical. What word would you use?
I think it was just well executed. You know, I think exactly how we practice it. You know, we practice an eight play no huddle drive to win games just about every day, and it turned out to be exactly 8 plays on a touchdown drive. So I think that's it's just good coaching, good practice, good execution right there. So that was good to see.
What did you say to the guys when you got in the huddle? There's 67 seconds left, 70 yards to go. You kind of, you don't want to be in that situation, but is it fair to say you relish that opportunity too?
Yeah, I think that's an opportunity I definitely wanted. You know, coming off that second to last drive, you know, not being able to convert that fourth down, I was telling the guys, you know, we're still going to have time. You know, we're still going to have time to get this done. Wasn't going to have any timeouts, but we were going to have time to get it done. You know, so I think that kept their focus in it. Like, you know, we might have some time here. Let's just stay locked in and go make this happen. So once we got on the field, I think everyone knew, you know, we were just confident in each other. And we knew what we needed to do. We knew we needed to get to the sidelines and get out of bounds and stop the clock and just march the ball down the field and then make a play at the end. And that's what we did. And that was good to see. I'm just proud of the guys for sticking in there.
Thoughts on your offensive line? I mean, you got in rhythm. You were able to hit some out routes. But I don't believe you were hurried that, or maybe once, but for the most part, you were clean. And thoughts on the way your line stepped up, specifically with the injuries the O-line had suffered in the game?
Yeah, I think, you know, throughout the week, we were kind of plugging some guys in and different guys were getting reps in the one huddle. So I think that helped us. You know, when we had some guys go down in the game, the guys were able to step in and feel comfortable in the huddle and comfortable making calls and making plays. So that was huge. And I think all game long, they did a great job of holding up, and we were able to get all the way through my progression down to the running backs who were catching and running with the ball. So that's a big testament to the offensive line more than anyone. So if they can continue to do that and we can just continue to complete the ball and get first downs, and, you know, it just all starts from there.
Tell me a little bit about the wide receiving core you have. The names are familiar, but specifically the options you have when you're in that two-minute drill. I mean, there's not a bad choice out there.
Yeah, it's great. When all those guys are healthy and feeling good and in a rhythm, you know, it's easier on me. And especially when, you know, Tyler Hoppus is in there and he's making great catches. And, you know, I have the ability to throw the ball to him. And, you know, for him to make plays is huge. So I think, you know, with all of our weapons in there on a two-minute drive, and you could just kind of get the ball moving and work both sides of the field, it's hard to cover. And I think that's kind of where we were able to find some holes in there and get it done.
A couple minutes here, Tanner Lee with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Were you expecting it to come down to a two-minute situation? You know how well Purdue's defense has been this year. It was kind of a throwback Big Ten night as far as temperatures and footing, and the run game was hit or miss. And Bradley got you guys a good spark. But did you feel like it was going to be kind of on your shoulders, on the offense's shoulders?
Yeah, I think our defense was fighting as much as they could. You know, they were when it really mattered, that they were making plays and getting us on the field. And, you know, that's what they did on that last drive, is, you know, did their job and gave us the opportunity. And, you know, no matter what happens before that, you know, that's all that matters at that time, was to get that stop and get us on the field with enough time to make something happen. So they did that. And, yeah, it was just kind of the kind of game you envision when you play Big Ten football, you know, on the road in the cold, you know, a great Purdue defense that was big and physical and strong. So it was just a lot of fun altogether, a lot of fun.
Who did you talk to immediately after you threw the touchdown pass?
I don't even remember.
Linemen?
Yeah, I celebrated with linemen, and then, you know, I was able to celebrate with Stan, and then the other quarterbacks on the sidelines were fired up, and, you know, it was just a cool deal, cool experience.
What did Langsdorf say to you?
I mean, just like we're kind of joking about, you know, we practice 8-play drives all the time, and it worked out to be exactly 8 plays like we practiced, so that was, we got a chuckle out of that, and, you know, so we know those periods are worth it now.
Did he just kind of look at you and say, see, 8-play drive? I mean, is that, I can kind of see him giving you a look.
Yeah, he said, you know, we call it 88s. And so it was just 88s. It was just like practice. So I think, you know, that was good to see. We were able to laugh about that a little bit. And, you know, he was just excited. You know, he was proud of the guys for, you know, executing. You know, we harp on, you know, all the little intricacies of a two-minute drill. So that was really good to see everybody, you know, focused in and locked in on that.
You mentioned Hoppus, and he's had moments this season where he's made some pretty big gash plays, and that mismatch you want to get with the tight end is ideal. You saw it on Saturday, getting him the ball 5 for 105 and the touchdown. What can he do
the rest of this season in this offense, specifically the tight end spot? How big a problem is it for defenses in this setup, in this kind of passing route you guys have?
Yeah, I think his body control and his hands, and being at a tight end position, is extremely tough for defensive backs. So if we can ever get him lined up on a safety who has to cover him more, like last game we got him matched up with a corner and we're kind of able to throw it up and let him body and make a play. It was something we definitely want to, exploit. That's something we can use to our advantage. And he's been doing it ever since I've been here. So I think we'll find different ways to get him the ball, just like we do with JD or DP or Stan. So that's just all part of the game plan, and then being able to execute it on Saturdays. So that was really happy for him that he was able to make those plays.
From a rushing attack standpoint, Northwestern, very good against the run. You have some guys that are trying to bounce back, and Coach Riley said that Bradley's ankle's a bit dinged. Wilbon and Zigbo are there. But how are you guys kind of approaching the run option to this offense? Are you frustrated, or are you able to just kind of say, okay, there's a new week, it's a new opponent, maybe it'll be better?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think it's a new week, a new opponent. You kind of just hit the refresh button, and we know we're going to need a run game to win this week. And I think it's still a huge part of our offense. I think our offensive line knows that. We can control the game, control the clock. If you're winning that run battle, it helps you stay out of third and long. If you can run the ball well on first and second down, and it really helps you out throughout the whole game. So that's something we'll definitely focus on, because when it comes down to winning football games, it's really important.
Have you ever had a game-winning drive in your career?
I have, yeah.
Tell me about it, aside from Saturday.
The last one I can remember, I think, I was at Tulane. We had a 2-minute drive against Army. We kicked a field goal to win the game. That was exciting. I had a fun one in high school to stay undefeated at the end of the year. So it was just got to look back on, think about those times a little bit before going out on that drive. So that was good to have those past experiences to kind of, make me feel better about that one.
You have had a great run here statistically, and you're looking more comfortable. Is that a fair assessment on my end, that you're settled in? And two, you have a game Saturday, but just November in general, how can this team finish out?
I think we still have high goals for ourselves. We want to win out all of our games, and it's one at a time, and it's one play at a time. So we got to focus on that. So we'll focus on Northwestern this week, and then do whatever we can, to give us the best opportunity to win. I think as far as feeling more comfortable, I think it's just been just maintaining my confidence, as the season has gone on. And, I got a lot of support from my teammates and my family and things like that, just keep me going. And that's something that I focus on them, and then what's going on in my locker room, and then don't let anything else, really deter my preparation and things like that. So, I think that's been my focus, and that's the way I'll probably continue to attack it.
Did it ever wane, your confidence?
What's that?
Did your confidence ever wane?
I don't think so. I think when you go through tough situations like that, you can respond one of two ways. And I think, I'm the type of guy that's not going to shy away from a challenge. And I look forward to playing well every Saturday, and I want to, build off of last week's performance. There's a lot of things that I can get better at, a lot of throws I could have made last game that I didn't, and or a lot of plays that could have gone differently if I had done something different. So I want to make those corrections, and then being able to improve week to week to week is something I'm also focused on.
Last thought here, Tanner. Thanks again for a few minutes. If you had one quarterback in the NFL to take for a 2-minute drive, who would it be?
It's tough, but I'd probably take either.
That's a lot of good choice.
Yeah, a lot. The three, I'd give you three.
Give me three?
It would probably be Rodgers, Brady, or Breeze. Right now, probably Rodgers. He just kind of seems I mean, he's so good at it. You know, he's got a lot of weapons, and then his ability to spread the ball all over the field, and then his ability to run as well. You know, it really helps his that 2 minute drill there, being able to scramble, get out of bounds, and things. So I think I'd take Rodgers.
Okay, there it is: Rodgers, Brady, and Breeze, and there's a little Saints love there, if you're wondering. Tanner, best of luck, man. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Good to get caught up with Tanner Lee, and there's his pecking order: 2 minute drill. NFL quarterback he'd take. And Breeze is going to be on there because he's a Saints fan, and Drew Breeze is awesome. Brady, and then, yeah, Aaron Rodgers. Jacked shoulder and all. No. Obviously a healthy Aaron Rodgers. Jim McElwain out. That's the news of the day out of the SEC. Where will Florida go? And who's going to be the next Gator head coach? We'll figure out who and where they go with that. I didn't do this in the first hour. It's been a while since we've had a home game. Had a bye week, and then we've had the roadie. No, we need to qualify folks for Northwestern tickets and Blur party passes. So caller 9 and caller 10 gets qualified. We'll do another qualification before we say goodbye tonight. I didn't do anything in hour one. I apologize. But caller 9, caller 10 qualifies for Nebraska Northwestern tickets and Blur party passes. 466-3776. 466-3776. 800-825-5865. Caller 9, caller 10 qualifies for Nebraska Northwestern tickets and those Blur party passes right now. Caller 9 and 10, 800-825-5865 or 466-3776. Caller 9 and 10, you qualify for Nebraska Northwestern tickets and Blur party passes. If you're going out tonight, got a little Monday night party, rendezvous, find that sober ride home. You get caught drinking and driving, DWI can cost you $12,000 in fines and fees and jail time. It'll be required to install that interlock device. You drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office.
And now.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Big thanks to Tanner Lee. Good stuff from him. Thanks to Danny Burke for getting qualifiers 9 and 10 for Nebraska Northwestern tickets and Blur party passes. We'll do that again here in about 15 minutes. So let's talk a little bit here about the Florida job. And as a Nebraska fan, listen, I know Scott Frost's name is open and up there for 100 different gigs because he's the hottest non-Power 5 out there, arguably, in college football. And I look at a really good piece that Henry Cords did for the World Herald that was... we'll spend some time on tomorrow, the love-hate relationship that Frost has with Nebraska. So let's ask ourselves a few things, because Florida is the first big-time major player, major conference, former national championship program to get into the silly season club. Okay, they got rid of their coach. They'll have first pick. They'll have a chance to make first contact. Their athletic director will not make contact with coaches during the season, as in season. He needs to say that because he can talk to their agents. But he's trying to be respectful. So how do these grab you? If you're thinking Florida, and who's going to lead us back to Urban Meyer type wins or Spurrier type wins. And Florida's been able to get the right guy twice in Spurrier and also Meyer. But Zucker didn't last and McElwain didn't last. And McElwain was supposed to be an offensive guy because he was the OC at Bama. And he came from Colorado State where he did well. Their defenses were incredible. Their offenses were brutal. So the first name that is out there, imagine the Chip Kelly system with the athletes he'll have access to at Florida. You're going to win in the SEC with a spread offense? I don't know. I think Chip Kelly will no doubt be called. He'll be called by a lot of programs. I think Chip Kelly's dream is to get back to the NFL. I don't think Chip Kelly digs recruiting. Okay? Just kind of my take on this. If you get Chip Kelly, how long do you keep Chip Kelly before he finally wants to take another crack at pro ball, assuming pro football would have him back? Bob Stoops is the name that I am super interested in. And it's been a long, long time ago since he took that private plane to Norman. Now he's been in the press box in Norman having a couple cocktails and not having to jack with things. Bob Stoops, I think, will want to coach again. I think the sale of his Chicago home kind of proves that he isn't going to just go chill in Chicago. He wants to coach again. I think he has something to prove. I think he needed about a year off to just unwind after 18 years. And I think there's an edge to him again because he wasn't the favorite son anymore. Do we ask Bob to step down? Do we let Lincoln Riley walk? Do we put the pressure on coach in waiting, the guy who brought us back from the football abyss? And then there's Bob Stoops' understanding that getting Lincoln Riley was pretty big time, and let's do him a solid. Let's step away. But Florida is where Stoops kind of made his name under Spurrier, and then he got the Oklahoma job. I think Florida would be crazy to not call Bob Stoops. Les Miles. Les Miles has physical offenses, good defenses, and quarterback issues. Sounds like Florida before McElwain left. Fuente at Virginia Tech? I don't know. Not saying he's not a good coach. He's an incredible coach. But I go try and get Dan Mullen. Dan Mullen's been suffering in Stark Vegas for a long time. Dan Mullen was the offensive coordinator under Urban Meyer. Dan Mullen's been great with quarterbacks. All Dan Mullen needs to do is get out of the state of Mississippi and flip-flop having to play Alabama every year to twice in about an eight-year period. He's also, you've got a lot of Florida connections. Stoops, Mullen, and Charlie Strong. Also Taggart. Taggart's at Oregon. Taggart loaded up South Florida. Charlie Strong's rolling. I know they lost this last weekend. But I go after some guys with Florida ties. That's Charlie Strong. That's Dan Mullen. That's Bob Stoops. That's where I go. And Florida can pay whatever they want, period. They're just able to do so. One name is Matt Campbell, Iowa State, cut 15. His postgame to his team after knocking off TCU. We have four parts of this. But I think Matt Campbell absolutely gets it. They went 3-9 a year ago. They could be undefeated this year. I know could. But they've been really good. A good road win. They found a way for a home win against TCU. And say it with me. It's all about the process. A
couple things for you guys. Listen to me. And then I'll let you go. Okay. The biggest thing that I've got to tell you is this. You're teaching the world that in this sport, college football, toughness, discipline, and detail still matter. That's your platform. Your platform is it is team above self. That's the platform that you're using. And nobody wants to buy into that in our culture today. Okay? Our culture says it's all about me. Our culture says screw process. I want instant gratification. But here's a fact, and young guys, listen to me. If you fall in love with the process, then eventually, Ogie, eventually the process will love you back.
Matt Campbell, keep on preaching, brother.
But see, here's what's crazy about that. You don't know when it's going to love you back. Okay? All you have to do is you got to be prepared for your opportunity when it's ready to love you back. Now think about that because that's powerful. There's some young guys in here that are still trying to climb the ladder. Okay? What you guys that have grinded it out, have stuck it out, have believed it out, you fell in love with the process. And the process is now loving you back. And if you want to continue on this journey, I'm telling you, it's a dark, lonely road. You see all this around you, and everybody wants to buy in. They want to buy the stock now, right? They want to jump in. They want to be a part of it. Okay? But you got to shove it away. It's a dark, lonely road. If I told you, if you want to stand on that platform at the end of this, and the confetti comes down, and you stayed the course. It's really hard to do. Easy to say it.
How about Matt Campbell? You just knock off your second top five squad, and it's stay grounded, work hard, keep grinding. He's nailing it. Here's why college football programs, life, not just football, struggle. Because you've got to fight that temptation to snap your fingers and make it so. It takes a lot of work to get to a level. More from Matt Campbell as we wind out a Monday on Hail Varsity.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Big thanks for today's show with Jay Moore and Tanner Lee joining the program, and Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride. You know, Matt Campbell at Iowa State. We'll talk with Mitch Sherman tomorrow. Mitch was in Ames for the big win over TCU. We'll get caught up with Rick Pizzo also tomorrow. As I like what Campbell's done and how quickly he's done it. I like his history of winning before getting even to the MAC. And I like what he did in the MAC. He just gets it more from his... He took about 5 minutes after the game to be real with his team. And this is more from Mad Campbell when it comes to the process will love you back.
What's that mean? Well, that means like, hey, it's tonight. I know it's Halloween. I know it's homecoming. We got a lot of things. But again, you got a... And everybody's going to say, oh, it's the biggest game. Come on. Okay? We're not falling for that anymore. It's the next game. But it's going to be a great challenge. You got to go on the road. Hard place to play. We got to play again at 2:30. We didn't even play our best football today. And there was some great defense. At times made some play offensively. Didn't play great on special teams again. Okay? And there's some things that we got to correct. But what? Isn't that football? Isn't that sport? Isn't that what this is all about? Getting better one day at a time. But you got to collectively, listen to me, it's not just the older guys. It's you young guys. You got to make the choice. Okay? Because the image of one here projects the image of all. You got to make great decisions. You got to come back tomorrow on Sunday ready to rock and roll. If you fall in love with the process, at some point in life, the process will fall back in love with you. Okay? It'll give you everything you want.
More as this is the true definition of motivational speech.
Back to January. Friday night, Saturday night, nobody here. You could have easily took the hard road, but you know what? Guys are in that indoor working out. When nobody's watching, that, OJ, that sacrifice, it doesn't just happen. Greatness doesn't just happen. You got to be willing to sacrifice everything. In between 18 and 22 years old, Ogie, that's really hard. It is. It's really hard because we've got a lot of things plugging at us, okay? I couldn't be prouder of you. It's an awesome win. Great for our fan base, great for everything, but most importantly, great for you because you sacrificed, okay? Because you sacrificed, but it's not over, okay? I'll be honest with you. I could care less. They're going to talk about it, but don't give a Remember, this isn't about being 6-6, okay? Programs care about 6-6, okay? This is about staying the course, and at the end of it, okay, did we reach our full potential, right?
We have time for one more from Mr. Campbell. Yeah, all right. Yeah, let's let him wrap up his speech. Love the process.
And you can do whatever you want, but we got to get better. We must get better, and we must demand it. Stay the course. Stay locked in tonight. Come back tomorrow ready to rock and roll. Right? I love you. I appreciate you, but I'm really, really proud of you. okay? This thing's just getting going. Stay the course. Have a great night. Tomorrow I will see you ready to rock and roll. Fair enough?
All right, there he is, Matt Campbell, man. Post-TCU. Got all 4.5 minutes of don't get sucked in, don't break your arm, patting yourself on the back. It is a grind, and it doesn't happen overnight. He made it look easy in a stressful game. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4, the Tuesday edition of Hail Varsity. Thanks to Danny. I'm Schmitty. Back with you next time with Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Thanks.